in? Is anybody behind you? Okay. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. I'm Amy Schwartz, and I am married to John David Schwartz. He is a youth minister for the Chapel Hill Church of Christ in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. I grew up in Columbia, Tennessee, and I came to school here at Fried Hardeman and got my undergraduate degree in Child and Family Studies and got my master's degree in education. I was a teacher for 6 years before I stayed at home with my children, and I'm still at home with them. We have a nine-year-old girl who's nine. That wasn't redundant. And she's in third grade, and then we have a five-year-old who's in preschool. He'll start kindergarten in the fall. I was just introducing myself, and this is part of my family who's just walking in. My husband's mother and his sister, our niece Harper. But glad that you're here. I want us to be able to share today, to talk about some things, and no doubt that you've got some experiences that you can share with each other, so that we can hopefully learn a little bit more about helping girls to be able to lead. Now, I thought, when Kirk asked me to do this, I said, "You're crazy. It's not me. I don't know anything about this. I'm not the expert." He said, "But you've been around ministry for so long, and you've been around people who've been in ministry. Three of my brothers-in-law, at one point or another in their career, have been youth ministers. And my husband's been in youth ministry 14 years, so I guess we've kind of been around this area." He said, "I want you to look at it from a positive approach. You know, I want you to think about how many times you have, when you were growing up, do you think you heard people tell about what women can't do in the church more than what you heard they can do? How many would say can't?" You know, I think that's the general consensus. And I think we need to change that, because while there are some specific limitations with women's role in the church, there are so many things that women can do. And if we can teach our girls that it's positive and there's so many things that they can be involved in, I think that's going to be great. I wanted to take a little bit different approach to the class. I thought, if I just printed out our stuff that we do at Chapel Hill and said, "Here's the recipe, follow this," there you go. There's the class. But that's not going to be the case, because what works for us may not work for you. And what works at our congregation with the dynamic of our kids may not work with you at your church. So what I want to focus on mainly today is principles. Principles that we can hopefully instill within the girls, so that they'll want to be leaders. Okay? I want you to think about growing up. Okay? Think back to when you were a young girl. Some of you don't have to think very far, and some maybe a little farther than others. Okay? I want you to think about who had the biggest influence on you as a young girl. Okay? It may have been a specific Bible class teacher. It might have been a camp counselor or teacher. I've been going to camp, it seems like forever. Literally, I'll be 39 this summer, and 30 years ago was my first year at camp. And I still remember my first camp counselor. She had a very big impact on me. Maybe it was the wife of a youth minister, wife of a preacher. Maybe it was your peers, your friends, your group of friends. Could have been a special youth rally, retreat teacher. Could have been a mother or grandmother, or maybe an aunt, a lady figure in your life. For me, I would say that it was my mom. At a very early age, she grew up taking us every Wednesday. We had Meals on Wheels. And I went with her to prepare the meals, package and deliver. We visit the shut-ins to take the Meals on Wheels. And, you know, whether it was that work that she was involved in, whether it was teaching Bible class, and to this day, every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, I know where she's going to be. She's going to be at Ladies Bible class, so I don't call her at 10 o'clock. That instilled within me and my sister, that's what you do. That's a work, that's an area that we can serve and we can help lead. So think about who it was for you that might have had the biggest impact. In a girl's life, their mother is the number one influence. She's the number one. She should be, hopefully, teaching how to girls how to be a woman, how to be a mother, and how to be a wife. Wife, mother, vice versa. But what if there's a girl that does not have a godly mother? What if her mother's not a member of the church? What if comes from a bad situation at home, possibly? How would we possibly relate to her? Could we possibly take and become maybe a mentor to her? I know a specific situation that someone in our church who lost her mom. Well, we tried to kind of be that for her, help her through situations. And for about this last 7 years, on Mother's Day, I got a card from her. And that's pretty neat. Let's look at this next slide. I love this. You know, sometimes we think that we have to have a title in order to do something. That's not the case. There is ministry all around us. If we simply will look, right? There are so many things that we can do and that we can be involved in. Thought that was just a cute little reminder of that. Now, what is it for us? Where do we come into play? We're going to be the role models in one way or another. Why should we be the role models? I, of course, want to look at Titus. Titus chapter 2. Verses 3-5. Yikes. My husband says, it'll work just fine. Don't worry. Oops. Okay. Titus 2, verses 3-5. Let's look at that. This is from the New King James Version. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Here, of course, the instruction was given by Paul to the older women, to train the younger women. And I think that's very applicable to teenagers as well. We can be showing them and teaching them the right way to behave in all of these areas. Okay. Be very careful on how you live, because your life is a permanent sermon. If girls are going to be looking at us to show them the right way to lead, are we showing them the right way? Because everything they'll see is going to be a very powerful sermon to them. I came up with some letters to help us remember these points today, and it's going to spell out the word lead so that we can help remember it better. The first one is, the L is lasting impressions. The E is our example. The A is active. And the D is hopefully the part where you all can help give me some insight on discovering talents, how we can help girls discover their talents. When you think of something that makes an impression, it's something that you're not going to easily forget, right? Something that you remember. It's kind of like an image that's stamped right there where you're going to remember it always. Let's look at this one. A lot of women's ministry today is spent trying to help girls, younger, older girls, through crises that they may have developed because of poor decisions when they were younger. What if we can help instill, before their core values are set, the right path to take? What if we can help instill within them the right values before those core values are set? I want you to think about the girls in your youth group. Some of you are college students, and that's just fine. How many of you might be youth workers or wives of youth ministers or ministers? Okay, doesn't matter. You still have young girls in your congregations, right? Absolutely. I want you to think about the girls in your congregation. Can you name at least five? What do you know about them? Can you name their hobbies, their interests? Are they involved in any sports? Maybe their boyfriend. You know, if we can't name some things about the younger girls in our congregations, we need to change that. Because if we're going to help show them how to lead, we've got to know them first, don't we? We have to know who they are. Let me share this story with you. I think it's pretty cool. It's called The Power of a Postcard. Last week, my daughters got postcards in the mail. This isn't too unusual. My kids often get postcards from their grandparents when they travel. But these postcards weren't from grandparents. To be more precise, these postcards weren't from my kids' grandparents. They were from Robin, a grandmother in our church with grandkids who are similar to the ages of my kids. Robin and her husband had gone on a trip across the country and taken the time to write to my two girls to encourage them after what they had done in Sunday school. 2 days later, it was my first grader's turn to bring something to share in class at school. She decided to take a pink stuffed cat and the postcard from Robin. When I asked her what she shared about it, she said it was a postcard with a picture of Nashville and a note from my friend Robin at church. My friend, one small act from a grandma figure who had taken the time to learn my kids' names and who had taken the time to write them a postcard, has the potential to speak volumes in their life. I said I wasn't going to cry. Glad there's tissues up here. Anywho, nonetheless, let's challenge ourselves to develop relationships with the girls who are at our churches. Young, starting at a very young age, on up. But not just any relationship, make it a real relationship. I know several people, one in particular, I won't say her name because she'll be mad at me, but she seeks out young girls, maybe who have been in a troubled situation, maybe don't have the best home life, maybe that she knows who are struggling through certain things, talks to them, texts them, says, let's meet up for coffee. Let's just have a chat. It makes a difference to that girl. And it's wonderful that that's a real relationship. A good study, I haven't read the whole book, but I've looked at part of it. My mom's going through this right now with her ladies' Bible class at church. It's called Spiritual Mothering by Susan Hunt. And, of course, it's based on Titus 2, but it teaches the older women to train the younger women, to kind of mentor them and actually develop relationships with them. Looks like a really good study for any type of ladies class, but I think it's very applicable to teenagers as well, or even younger ones. We don't know what girls will be one day. We don't know what they're going to be. We don't know what kind of impact that we're going to have on them. We don't know who they might turn out to be. This particular story was from a lady who had written one of the books that I've used. I've got the sources at the end of the page. I think it was the Young Women's Ministry, I think. She said, "I was shopping in a mall a few years back when a young woman ran up to me. She gave me a big hug and said, 'I can't believe it's you. I remember that you helped me with my hair and my makeup on a retreat one time.' It meant so much to me, and I felt so beautiful. I never told you, but at that point, I wanted to help girls in the same way." She said, "I'm a youth minister's wife now." How neat that the impact of this one lady had on this girl. And do you know that that lady said she couldn't even remember the girl's name? She couldn't even remember her name. But that one act that she had done had made such an impact in that young girl's life. So there's our L. Okay, let's remember that if we're going to help lead girls, let's make it a lasting, real relationship. Leave an impression that they're going to remember. Okay? E. The E is for our example. How is our example? In every single aspect of our life, can younger girls see Jesus? In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, we find all of these different areas in our life that were to be an example. Okay? How about, have you ever heard someone say, let me show you better than I can tell you? You know, I have to have somebody show me something, because if they tell me, I'm not going to remember what they said. But if they show me how to do it, it's going to stick. Okay? Are we able, with our lives and our example, to show young girls how godly women should be? You know, how's our speech? Do we talk the right way? Are we talking negatively? What about our lifestyle? What do we do? What do we do with our lives? Do we love? And in faith, are our motives pure? You know, all of those different aspects, we have to be very careful in our lives before we can help teach others, right? I love this right here. And it is so true. Male youth ministers can be spiritual influences in the lives of teenage girls, but they will never show them how to be godly women. Only godly women can fulfill that role. How true is that? You know, we should be able to look in our congregations and see godly women everywhere we look. And a male youth minister is going to have a great spiritual influence on the lives of kids. But who's going to show them how to be a godly woman? And hopefully it's each one of you. If we are living bright and we have each one of these areas intact, then we can really say, let me just show you better than I can tell you. Let me just show you. And that's our example. Example, we could go on and on about that forever. The A is going to be active. If it comes up. Would you say that in our culture today, families are very active? You know, there's softball, there's soccer, there's band, there's Girl Scouts, there's Boy Scouts, there's you name it. There's something after school every day, on the weekends. It's all the time. I think families are staying very active. But I want to challenge us. What are we being active in? What are the things that we're being active doing? This particular quote from Ben Franklin. Tell me, and I forget. Teach me, and I may remember. Involve me, and I'll understand. If we're active and we're busy doing the things that we need to be doing, they're going to see us. They're going to see us doing the right things. You know, are we teaching classes? Whether it be nursery, teenagers, ladies, are we looking for opportunities to serve? I know, I don't know about your congregations, but it's hard to find teachers. At least it is at our church. And people just aren't necessarily willing to do it. We've got to hopefully teach the girls that it's a great responsibility to be a teacher. No matter if it's just in a nursery class or if it's teaching ladies one-on-one in a ladies class. It's oftentimes hard to find people who are willing to stand up and just give a devotional thought. Simple devotional thought. Or maybe just to lead a prayer at a ladies' day. Or even get up to, you know, give the announcements. That's hard. They've got to see us doing that before we can tell them or teach them what to do. Are we helping to prepare meals for those who've just had hospital stays? They've been in for surgery. I know we revamped our ladies' teams, I guess, a couple of years ago. And we had about, I think it was about 50 women, because we've got five teams, who are on each team. So we've got 50 total with 10 women on each team. We've got about 250, 300 people in our congregation. But at least we have those who are willing. What about preparing communion? It has to be done. And oftentimes we don't think about it. We had an intern this summer who was a girl, and she got with our girls one Friday, and they actually made the communion for church on Sunday. And it was real special that next Sunday because they had made the communion. I think that's probably a lost art nowadays because of convenience and time. But isn't that special that they took that part in leading? Obviously weren't standing up in front of anybody, but they had that part to play. And I'm sure that it made them feel really, really special. What about the baptistry clothes that need washing? Maybe you have a kitchen and those dish towels get dirty. And I don't know who magically washes them, but they get washed and put back in the drawer. Seemingly meaningless tasks that get done. But it's by people who are being active. And in order to teach girls, these are things we need to be doing. We've got to get busy doing it ourselves. So let's make sure we're staying active. All right. I didn't finish, sorry. Got busy talking and I forgot. I pretty much said all these anyway. But do girls see us busy doing the Lord's work? Obviously, we can't do every single thing within the church, but we can do something. And if each one of us will do something, then it gets done, right? And we're busy working. Now, the D. Oh, I forgot about this one. Okay, this is obviously our actions here. What do they say? You've seen this countless times, I know. If you're accused of being a Christian, is there going to be enough evidence to convict you? What do our actions tell us or tell about us? What do they say? All right, I'm going to leave it blank for a minute. I had my girls fill out a questionnaire. Because I wanted to kind of get some input from them. I wanted to see what they were thinking, ideas that they wanted to share with me about what they thought was necessary to have in order to lead. I asked them, I said, okay, how many of you can say that you have a bond, closeness, or friendship with any older lady at church? Well, all of them said yes, but some of their answers said something like, well, I know my mom's friends, or I know the ladies who sit near me. None of them were really, you know, yeah, Miss So-and-so, she's really, really a neat lady, or there wasn't anything specific in that. I asked them, what can be done to help foster a better relationship between you and the women in the church? And every single one of them said, spend more time with them in one way or another. Some said retreats, ladies' classes, meals, just get to know them, basically. Which all goes back to have a relationship with them. Another question that I thought was neat said, how can older ladies teach you to be a leader within the church? What can they do? Well, most of them said we can just follow their example. We can watch them and learn. Another thing that we'll talk about when we get to the D, I need to just hush because I'm getting out of order. They also said, just be a good example. One girl said, just encourage me. Just little bits of encouragement. Send a card, a note. Maybe it's just telling them in person, I applaud you for what you're doing. I saw you did this, and this was really a great thing that you did. You know, just sharing with them appreciation for what they're doing, I think is wonderful. And of course, a lot of them said teaching class, having them as a teacher in class as well. Okay, let's look at D. Discovering talents. Oops. Okay. We can talk about programs all day long, right? And I think sometimes we're too program oriented because we think if we don't have a program, we can't do it. Or, well, somebody's got to be in charge to plan it, organize it, be a chairperson of it before we can actually do it. And that's not the case. All of these different works, I'm just going to kind of go through some of the things that we do at Chapel Hill. And then I want you to share with the other, with each other, maybe some things that work at your congregations. Maybe some things that you've done as ladies groups or with teenagers that have really helped to build a good relationship with them. Teaching Bible classes, we talked about. Having a class, maybe with a younger girl and a seasoned teacher. Have someone they can watch, can get ideas from. I know teenage girls are great to babysit children, but throw them into a class with 4 and 5s, and they might need a little bit of direction in how to approach them. Just a learning process. We did not participate in Lads to Leaders at Chapel Hill, but my husband started youth leadership training, which is kind of similar to that. It's an 8-week course, usually. That meets every Sunday, and we have girls' classes, guys' classes split. The girls, most of the time, focus on, there's a class, how to lead singing. I have no idea how to really lead a song. Never been taught that. Don't know. My whole husband's family is awesome with that. They're very musically talented. But I don't know. I never was taught that. So I don't know how to do it. We also have classes that just teach the girls how to teach a Bible class to children. That was one of the ones I got to teach, and it was really neat because we literally went in the 2-year-old classroom, and they sat around the little table, and they were my 2- and 3-year-olds for that night. And I taught the class like I would have taught it to 2-year-olds. So I showed them how I would do certain things. We have classes about how to put together a devotional thought. what can I say? How can I go about it? There are classes combined with the boys that have other topics as well, but that's just one area. And every girl pretty much in her survey said, I know how to lead, or I've learned how to lead because of this particular training class that we have. I know Lads to Leaders is very similar. It's got some great things that are taught, especially I think they've got new areas that, girls can participate in, which is wonderful. It's getting them involved. The teacher mentor training. This was, I believe Jamie Frizzell told me about this, that they actually have eighth grade girls. When they get into eighth grade, they can sign up to mentor a teacher for 5 months. And they're with that teacher every Sunday or Wednesday, whatever the class is, and learn how to teach from her. Pretty neat idea. Thought that was really cool. Girls to Grannies. This is a program that my sister's congregation does. And basically, from young girls all the way up through grannies, they get together, they have service projects together, they eat together, they spend time together. They're taught from the older ladies. You know, isn't that neat? I mean, I just don't know if all places really do that, and I think it's awesome. The Big Sis, Little Sis program, this is something that a friend of mine from Chase Park in Alabama told me about. She said that they've got this program where they pair younger girls with an older girl and kind of develop that bond between the two of them. They do service projects as well, get together, spend time together. What a great thing. Covered with Love. This is a group that started originally, as a group of ladies who got together to sew. They were making blankets, quilts, things like that. People who'd been in hospitals, had surgeries, and I don't know how to sew, so I'm not in that group. But that's a great work, too, that they get together and do this for other people. And we could go on and on about ladies' groups. We could probably mention a million things that I didn't put up there that are ways that we can actually use our talents. What are some of the things that you have, maybe at your congregation, that you'd like to share? Anybody have some ideas? Oh, come on. Surely something's going on, right?
We like to do, like a big program or anything, but at Christmas time we do a Pinterest party, and the young ladies class from their Wednesday night class group helps the teen girls, and they take three or four girls per two adults, and they're in charge of the food, and then they're in charge of doing a craft together, and so they pick what they want to do, and they pick their teams, and then they're in charge, and the girls love it, and we were asking them again, because we had done that last year, and they're like, are we going to do a Pinterest party again? And we love hanging out with the young ladies class, you know, they want that time.
And again, that goes back to just spending time.
Yeah.
Okay? That's awesome. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, one thing that our congregation tries to do, anytime we go on a trip anywhere with our youth, we do a devotional. And then at the end, we split it into guys and girls. And one time, we were at CYC, and these girls just really had one of those moments with, it was youth minister's fiance at the time, they just had one of those moments where they felt connected with her, and they really appreciated that. So then they said, why don't we do a Young Ladies' Day? And so that grew into this big event planning thing where they learned how to plan a Ladies' Day.
That's nice. So, yeah. And again, it doesn't have to be a program, because it doesn't matter if it's literally got the word program on it.
We're doing a Valentine's Day, like you said, for little ladies.
I think that's neat. She said they're doing a widow brunch.
Yes.
For their ladies, their widow ladies. That's neat.
I have in the past had my students choose, especially an older couple in the congregation, and for several months we just send cards, their secret sister type thing. Send cards and just different things for them, and then we'd have a, and we'd let them know what it was, but give them a gift or something.
And that's saying, so the younger girls are kind of mentoring or befriending an older group, older.
They like it because it's a secret.
That is neat. That is neat. Kids do like a challenge. Okay.
There's this, the men do, it's just now starting, but the men do a men's prayer breakfast every Tuesday, like the third Tuesday of the month or whatever. And now we're starting to do a women's prayer coffee, but the men bring their sons, like they, the mm-hmm. sons come with them. So we're hoping that the daughters of the mothers will come and we'll have a, I mean, you don't have to drink coffee, but we'll
sure.
have a, you know, prayer session with small Diva. So.
That sounds neat. What else? Anybody else have anything to share?
Our youth minister puts together a program called Progressive Dinner for the kids. Mm-hmm. And so if you would like to be a host of that, you sign up and it's neat. They load the bus and the bus comes to your driveway and they mm-hmm. come through and you either do, you know, appetizer, main dish, dessert, salad, and it's just neat. I mean, they're there for, you know, 30 or 40 minutes,
yeah.
but you've got a whole crew of them at
oh, yeah.
home and it's fun.
We used to do that and we visit the elders' homes. For the different courses of the meal. And that was a neat, that's a neat way to put your teenagers with the elders and their wives and spend time together. Just think. Anybody else have anything they want to share with the class? Okay, well ultimately, we could talk about different programs all day long. We could name lots of things that we could do together, but I think ultimately, all these suggestions boil down to one thing. In order to help teach girls how to lead, I think it boils down to one thing, and that's having a real relationship with girls. It's making it real to spend time together, to become appreciated, to learn each other. If we can have all the different programs in the world, and we call them all the fanciest names, but if we don't have a relationship with the girls that we're trying to reach, then it really doesn't matter. I know that you all are doing some great things at your congregations, and no doubt you're the active ones who are involved because you're here, you want to learn, and I just applaud you for that. I sincerely hope that you'll continue. If you don't have a relationship with some of the girls at your congregations, I challenge you to do that. To develop them. Pick out one or two and see if you can't make that happen. We'll end with a prayer, and then I've got some mints for everybody to grab on the way out because you've been an encouragement to me and you hopefully will be an encouragement to others as you hopefully show them how to lead. Okay? So let's end with a prayer and then we'll close. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the lectures, and we thank you for this group of ladies who are here today. We're glad that we're able to come together to talk about ideas and hopefully implement them to help lead young girls to you. We thank you so much for blessing us with help today, and we ask you just to bless everyone here, help everyone to have a great week and learn a whole lot. Dear God, help us to be challenged to develop real relationships with the girls at our home congregations and help us to each be encouraged by that. Thank you so much for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.